Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has been. And I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, right after the books of 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 9 this morning. If you will, stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi.' Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, 'O Lord of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help.'" And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you. Thank you, Father, for the many blessings you bestow upon us and the opportunities to, Lord, just to gather together and to draw closer to you. And I pray for all that have come through the doors of this church this morning. And God, you know exactly what's taking place in the lives of each individual that's here. You know what kind of spiritual needs they have. You know what kind of battles they're fighting. And I just pray, God, as they have assembled here, that you would meet with us and speak to each one exactly the way that we need to be spoken to. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look here in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Now, after Solomon, there was a division of the kingdom of Israel. There was Israel, known as the 10 tribes of the north, which name was known as Israel. And then there was the two southern tribes that were known as Judah. After the division, Israel did not have one good king until they were taken into captivity. Judah was able to stay out of captivity longer than Israel, the 10 northern tribes, because Judah had a few good kings. Jehoshaphat was one of those good kings of Judah. But even Jehoshaphat got himself in trouble a few different times. In chapter 19, if you look there with me, in verses 1 through 3, we find that he made some bad decisions to unite with Ahab, the king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house and in peace to Jerusalem. Now, this is right before then. Ahab had been killed and Jehoshaphat would have been run off. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly?" For he had went to help King Ahab, which was ungodly. "And love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now that's what was taking place in the heart of Jehoshaphat. I think he had realized he had made some mistakes, and now he was looking to get Judah back to seeking the Lord. But because of what he had done, the enemies of Judah sensed weakness and joined together against Jehoshaphat. They'd already defeated Ahab, and they felt this was the prime time because Jehoshaphat has shown some weakness, and it would be the prime time to come against him and destroy Judah. Now, today, as we understand this battle that they were going through, it's much like when we are in a vulnerable situation. It's much like when we have made some bad decisions and we're not as spiritually as strong as what we should be. You'll find that Satan loves to pounce upon that weakness. And every time there's a spiritual weakness, we're more vulnerable. And any time that we are vulnerable, we find that Satan is out to attack us in different ways. And if we are walking with God and we are strong in our faith, Satan, when he attacks us, we can handle, but a lot of times we can overcome. And but when we're vulnerable, once we have made some bad decisions or find ourselves not walking as close to God, you'll find that Satan is even going to come at you harder to try to destroy you, as he did Judah and Jehoshaphat. Well, Jehoshaphat, what can we learn? As we know that God has recorded this in history and recorded it and preserved it in the Bible, and the Old Testament, every story in the Old Testament God has recorded and preserved is for our learning, is for us to learn from the biblical principles that are associated with whatever that story might be. Well, what can we learn from Jehoshaphat? And as we read what took place, I think in the title of the message I'm going to preach this morning is Trust Your Faith. No matter what's taken place, trust your faith. Verses 1 and 2 here, we find that Jehoshaphat hears of an imminent attack that would destroy Judah. He gets some bad news. He realizes that with this great army coming against him, that he cannot defeat this army. It might be something like when you hear that you got cancer. And you realize that, well, I cannot defeat this on my own. You might have got laid off work. Something else might have happened. You might have had marital problems and now you're facing a divorce. You might have teenagers that have rebelled and now you have wayward teenagers. Whatever, something's taken place. I'm battling financial, I'm battling health, I'm battling relationships, whatever it is. Satan is out to attack you. And we find this is what's taking place with Jehoshaphat. We have it recorded here that he was a king of Judah. And he hears of this imminent attack that would destroy Judah. Verse 3 and 4, we find he immediately turns to his faith. In that he immediately begins to pray and to fast. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Even though he knew that he had not been perfect, he had made some mistakes and had put himself in a vulnerable situation, when it came down to it, he realized his faith was in God. And he turned to his faith. And he would have to learn to trust in that faith. Well, our faith is what we believe. And this morning, I think it's very important that we know what we are trusting. We should be able to put our trust in our faith. But if we don't know what our faith is and what our faith is able to accomplish and how our faith is able to help us, it's hard to put our faith, our trust in that. So that's why it's important that we understand what we believe. In Sunday morning Sunday school, we're going through in a series on teaching the doctrines of our faith. Biblical distinctives of Baptists. Understand that there is a difference between Baptist doctrine and other doctrines of religions. And Baptist doctrines are Bible doctrines. And what's more important than Baptists is doctrines of the Bible. As I mentioned this morning in our Sunday school, I'm first and foremost a biblicist. I know that I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Him. I know that I'm saved because I put my faith in Him. And I realize that He has promised to preserve His word for us today. And that's where my faith is in. My faith is in the Bible. My faith is in the truths that God has preserved for me to learn. So we have to understand, before I can put my faith or my trust in my faith, I've got to know just what my faith is. He speaks out loud for all to hear, verse 5. Now he brings Judah together and he reveals to Judah that there is an imminent attack, and if we don't seek the help of God, then we are going to be annihilated. We're going to be destroyed. And so they understood that their faith was in believing in a creator God. And now they would have to know what they're putting their trust in. And so in verse 5, he brings them all together, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. He brings everybody to the house of God. He brings everybody to the main center place, and then he gets up in the midst of it because he realizes as a king that he needs to influence the people to do what he needs to do, and that is to put their trust in their faith. If they're going to put their trust in their faith, they have to know what they believe. He speaks of who God is. He speaks of what he's done. And he speaks of what he will do. Because that's what we need to know, who God is. Who is He? What has He done that I can believe? What are His promises that I can put my faith in? But what I want you to see here, first of all, in verse 5, that He brings a congregation together and He speaks out loud for all to hear. You know, something I do, and I think it's important, I speak out loud in my prayer closet because I find that if I speak it out loud, I'm actually able to hear what I am speaking. And not only will I speak what I believe, but I will hear what I believe. And that strengthens me. I'll fall on my face before God when I pray for the church family. When I'm up here on Saturday nights and I come to this altar and I fall on this altar up here and I'm praying for our church family. I put myself in each one of the homes of our church family. I have the membership in front of me. And every week before I preach to you, I have already prayed that God would use me to speak to you and pray that you would come and have an ear to hear what God has for you. And every time I go through your family, whatever I know about your family, then that's what I ask God to do. And I'm speaking out loud. There's no one around. This is my prayer closet. I don't have to worry about what somebody else is thinking about what I'm talking about or what I'm saying. It's just me and God. I don't have to speak out loud because God knows the thoughts of my mind. He knows the intents of my heart. But I need to reinforce what I am saying when I need to hear myself. And I always start out with just praising God for who He is. Because I'll look to Him and I'll say, I bow before You. You're the great I am. You're the creator of all things. You're my heavenly Father. I'm speaking out loud. And I've just told myself, He's your heavenly Father. And I say, I worship and I praise you as being God the Son, my Redeemer, my Savior, my Lord, Jesus. I've just spoke to myself. Now I am addressing Him, but I am reminding myself of who He is. And then you're God, the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, He that dwells within me. And I hear that. And not only am I praying this prayer to God and I'm speaking to God, but I'm hearing myself. And as I hear myself worship God and acknowledge Him for who He is, it's doing something for me immediately. So that I am confident now that I am addressing Almighty Creator God and who He is and how He impacts my life as my Heavenly Father, as my Savior, as my Comforter. And now I can start praying for my congregation. I can start praying and bringing your name before the Lord, knowing that God will hear that prayer. He'll prepare your hearts and you'll be able to receive more of what God has for you when you come to the supper table. Amen. Where the word of God is being preached and the flock is being fed. That's part of the preaching of the word of God. And that takes place every week, every Saturday night. I'm here preparing for this congregation, not the message. I've got the message. I'm preparing me. And I'm asking God to prepare you. Because I believe it's very important. Because I don't know what you're dealing with, but God does. And I know if you come to the church seeking Him, you don't come to the church. Hopefully you don't come to the church to hear me. You come to the church to hear from Him. That's important. Our assembly is important. Jehoshaphat gets all of them together. He stands up. He speaks out loud for all to hear. In verse 6, he said this, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Are you not our heavenly Father? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? I'm shouting already. Because I have a communication line that's been open, and I am now addressing an Almighty Creator God that's able to do all things, that has all knowledge, who has all power, and can answer any prayer, and can give solutions to any problem. Yeah. He wants the people to hear that. Jehoshaphat, if he's going to put his trust and his faith, he has to know who his faith is in, who his God is. God in heaven, who is almighty. And then verse 7 and 8, look there with me. He speaks of what you know that he has done. Art not thou our God? Not, you're just not a God, you're our God. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel? The entire land of Canaan, from the giants in the mountains to the warriors in all the land, God drove them out before the nation of Israel and gave Israel that as his promised land of Canaan. That's something they could remember. That's something they can look back on and say, wow, that's right. I remember us following Moses, and as God opened up the Red Sea. And then I remember us following Joshua as God opened up the Jordan River. And I remember the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and we didn't even have to fight. God blew over the walls of Jericho. And God to give us deliverance in every city, in every area of the land of Canaan, God did that for us. Now that's your faith. That's what you believe. You believe in who God is. You believe in the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You believe that Jesus Christ delivered you from hell. Through his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, he gave you eternal life. He delivered you from the grasp of the devil and the grasp of Satan and hell, and he redeemed you to God the Father. Wow. And if you think about it, you can probably, if you've been saved for a long enough period of time, you can look back and say, and you've answered that prayer. And you answered that prayer. And you took care of us here. And you took care of us there. Oh, you're a real God. I believe, I've put my faith in a real God, a creator God, who has shown himself to me. He lives within me. He has turned my life around. He has changed me. And not only that, he speaks of what he had promised, what they could look forward to. Verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, the judgment of the pestilence or the famine, whatever kind of evil we have coming against us, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then, if we do exactly as you told us to do in seeking your help, then wilt thou hear and help. So when you're facing annihilation or you're facing something that you know you can't handle on your own, do you know what you believe? Do you know who God is? Are you aware of what he's done for you in the past and what he's promised to do for you in the future? Before you can put your trust in your faith, you have to understand your faith, your belief. If you can't trust your faith, grow your faith. It's not that the faith is bad. Don't give up on faith. You need to turn little faith into great faith. Jesus wanted his disciples, he was always trying to encourage them to increase their belief in him, to grow their faith. In Matthew chapter 6, let me just read to you here, write it down, you know the verses, I'm sure. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is what we look to, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. I praise the Lord for that verse. But in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this: wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. You're aware of this, right? The God created all things. He grows the grass. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If you can't put your trust in your faith, don't throw away your faith. Grow your faith. Amen. Grow your faith. Increase your faith. Get more understanding of who God is. Get a better understanding of what he's done for you. Get a better understanding of what you can claim, what you can receive as a promise from God. There are many promises that he gives us. If you meet the qualification, then claim the promise that God has given to us. You might need that to make it through whatever you're facing. Yeah, grow your faith. If you can't trust your faith, grow your faith until you can. Yeah. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus continued to help his disciples to see this. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, we find here in verse 26, he said, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful? They were in a storm on the sea, and they feared for their lives. And Jesus said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. They grew their faith because of what they seen and believed in Christ's ability to speak to the winds and the waves. Yeah, trust your faith, but you got to know what you believe. And if your belief is not strong enough to trust, then grow your belief. Genuine trust in faith will lead to actions. Whatever you're facing, genuine trust in what you believe, your faith, will direct you to do something. Yeah. Go back with me to our text, chapter 20. In chapter 20 and verse 14. See, God would make sure that they knew what he would have them to do. They could not defeat the army. God didn't expect them to defeat the army. But there was something that God did expect them to do. They needed to go down to the battle so that they could see what God would do. Verse 14. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God is wanting, he sends a prophet, and now he is going to tell them the message that God has for them. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord your Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." Amen. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Look down to verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." See, God would make sure that they knew what he would have them to do. As you are facing certain situations and circumstances out of your control, and you're understanding that God is your only hope, and he is the one that you're going to put your trust in, your belief in him. As you look to him to know, all right, God, what would you have me to do? God will lead you, he'll lead us to do our part. And as long as we are looking to do our part, then we can put our faith and our trust in God, knowing that if we do what he tells us to do, then he will do what he's promised to do. Yeah. I think of Daniel. And he was told, if you pray in public, you'll be cast into a lion's den. Daniel, like always, put his faith, his trust in his faith, and he prayed as usual. The Bible says that he was thrown into the den of lions. But in Daniel 6:22, the Bible says, God shut the mouths of the lions. He had to go into the lion pit, but can I tell you, I think that would have been more of an excitement and more of a praise to know that I was actually thrown in with the lions and they had lockjaw. Amen. God shut the mouths of the lions where they couldn't roar and they couldn't open their mouths, and Daniel just enjoyed a night like no other persons have ever enjoyed, as all the lions becoming his pet animals. Yeah. He did his part. Without fear, he put his trust in his faith that God would do his part. And God did what Daniel couldn't do. He shut the mouths of the lions. The three Hebrew children. They were commanded to bow and to worship. And they would not. They were threatened, if you do not worship, bow down, you'll be placed in the fiery furnace. And they put their trust in their faith. And they didn't bow. And they were cast into the fiery furnace. But they experienced something that no one else has ever experienced, as far as I know. In the midst of the fire, they walked with Christ, and there was not a hair on their head that was singed. Yeah. Because they did their part. And they just trusted God to do his. Because they put their trust in their faith. Moses was told to go before Pharaoh and command the most powerful man on planet Earth at that time to let the children of Israel go. Moses developed a stutter because he was afraid about what was going to take place. But eventually he put his faith, his trust in what he knew and who he knew to be God and God's abilities. And he stood before Pharaoh time after time and commanded him to let God's people go. And God protected him.
Amen.
Yeah. And Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt toward the promised land. Yeah. Wow. When we trust our faith, we'll tell others. And we'll live the Christian life as God would have us to live it. If you don't put trust in your faith, you'll let Satan, the world, scare you from identifying with Christ, scare you away from telling others about their need and who God is. But when you put your trust in your faith, you'll do whatever you know God would have you to do, because you will have faith in God. And you will be praising him. You can't praise him without having a desire to tell people about him. Yeah, it's part of Christianity. It's part of our faith. Part of who we are. How can we not tell a lost and dying world that there is hope? That there is a Savior. There is the help of God available to whosoever will call upon him. What a great lesson to learn. What God recorded for us to learn. The outcome. Turn back with me. 2 Chronicles, and we're done. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise... Don't lose sight of the power of praise. It's one of the reasons we sing in our congregational worship services. There's power in praise. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Israel's sitting there watching the enemies that come to attack them start turning on each other. And they destroyed each other. And the children of Israel just watched and were amazed of what God promised he would do and how he did it. In verse 20, they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." This is what they did. "Believe in the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." In order for them to do what they did and to be able to prosper, we're going to see in a minute there how they prospered, but they just simply believed God. And they believed God's word. That's the prophets. And they put their trust and their faith in believing God's word. And not only were they established, the Bible says, but they would prosper in doing that. Verse 25. "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much." Established and prospered. Have you put your faith, your trust in your faith? If you don't know what your faith is, you can't put your trust in it. But once you know what your faith is, know what you believe, then just trust it. And see what God will do. If I could have everybody's head bowed and eyes closed for just a minute as we have just preached this passage of Scripture and the message that I believe that is here to help us. These biblical principles are the same for us today. Our situations might be a little bit different. No doubt they are. But the solution to an attack, the solution to a problem, the solution to what's coming against us is the same. Know what you believe. Know it's based upon the Bible. And trust it. Just trust it. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of the story of Jehoshaphat and how we can draw from this, these biblical principles. I pray right now, God, I preach what you wanted me to preach today. I'm assured of that, and you know how you wanted to use it in the lives of those that are here. I pray right now during this invitation that your spirit would bear witness with their spirit, and you would reveal to them what they need to do, whether it be salvation, maybe baptism, church membership, rededication, or just a commitment to just put their faith, their trust in the faith that they have. Whatever the situation, Lord, I pray that you would work in our midst in this invitation time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.